Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hour number two, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game here on this Wednesday. We're at Nash Dogs in Old Hickory. Usually he joins us on Tuesday and moves stuff around for, he's got this TV gig. That's kind of a big deal. Tim Hasselbeck joins us now on the program. Tim, what's up? How you doing?
I'm doing great. I mean, I appreciate the flexibility, right? But you make me feel bad about the flexibility. I mean, this is as far as I think it's approaching a Guinness Book of World Records for longest standing radio hit.
That's true.
This goes back, like, what year did my brother play for the Titans? Like, what year would that have been? That had to be
2011.
Like, 2011. It's 2011? So where are we at? 14 years now doing, like, is it 15 years?
15
yeah,
coming up.
15, yep. Yeah.
I'm about to get our driver's license.
Well, that's kind of perfect. Who taught you how to drive? That's our question of the day.
All right, this is terrible. I was in Cincinnati, Ohio. My mom is one of 12 kids. Her youngest brother, my uncle Michael, we were going to go to a sporting goods store in downtown Cincinnati, and we're walking out to his Volkswagen Jetta, and he gives me the keys. And I'm 12 years old, and we're driving. I'm on the highway driving to the sporting goods store, and he's like, "Hey, man, we're going to get pulled over." And I'm like, "We're going too fast?" And he's like, "No, you're going 35. We're on the highway. Like, you got to speed up. Let's go."
That's fantastic.
I'm hoping the statute of limitations has expired, but yeah, that was my driving experience.
So was it you and your uncle only?
Yeah, just the two. Like, and I don't know why he wanted me to drive. I don't know. Maybe it's probably he had a bunch of older brothers, and he had 11 older brothers and sisters. So it's probably how he learned to drive, was just like someone older than you gave you keys. But I look back at it now, I was 12 years old.
Did you run inside and tell your mom, like, Mom, guess what happened?
No, I think the secret was kept until I got married. It was like rehearsal dinner, and I was like, oh, by the way, 12 years ago, I let you drive a car.
Tim Hasselbeck is with us. The schedule, we're starting to get a little bit of the schedule, and the full release will be tomorrow night. What did you think about the international matchups that we got today?
I think what's interesting about the international matchups, I think in some ways they tell us, who they think is going to be good. Because they value them. Like, clearly what the NFL is doing is they value these international games. And so I think if they're going to value the international games, they're going to put teams that they care about, that they want to promote, in them. So, look, the Bengals to me were one that showed up. They obviously think that they're going to be a good one. You know, when I look at the location of some of these, I mean, and some of them, you know, we knew about, but, you know, you're talking about places that are far. Like, this isn't, and they're not that going to Mexico City's right around the corner, but, you know, you're talking Australia, and, you know, they've been doing the London games for a while. But, you know, in some of these places, you know, Rio, like, I think my feeling is I used to, as a player, look at the schedules when it came out and was like, all right, when's my bye week? Where am I around Thanksgiving and Christmas? I think we've gotten to the point now where guys are bracing for impact on these international games just because of, honestly, like the travel and the undertaking of it.
We don't know who the Seahawks are going to play in the opener yet, but it's one of three possibilities based on Well, I guess technically one of four based on deductive reasoning. I don't think it'll be the Cardinals. I think it's the Bears, but it could be the Chargers or the Patriots. Could you see them doing the Super Bowl rematch as the opener, or do they want to save that for later in the season? And has the Vrabel situation maybe affected that?
I'm not sure if the Vrabel situation has affected it. I could see them waiting a little bit on the Super Bowl rematch, just because, you know, that's something to sell later in the year, whereas, you know, the week one is easy to sell. So, let's just say you said the Chargers were one of the teams. You know, Let's say it was the Chargers. They're probably not necessarily a matchup that would, you know, be able to be highlighted, you know, if it were a week five or six game. Now, Chicago, because of the market and that type of thing, that would, I think, have, you know, some allure to it. So I would guess that it's probably Chicago the Chargers. But look, maybe I'm being too kind and naive to not think that all this attention on New England wouldn't have an impact.
Talking to Tim Hasselbeck on the Chase and Big Joe Show. Tim, our question today yesterday was, and we were excited to ask you this yesterday until you canceled on us. Our question of the day is, who is your all-time favorite athlete that nobody really heard of? Like, my all-time favorite athlete that nobody ever heard of, I love Jim Jensen for the Miami Dolphins. That guy was a Boston University guy. He was a backup quarterback, backup tight end, backup whatever, but he would go to the game and would give you everything that he had. And nobody really heard of him, but Jim Jensen is my favorite. Do you have one that comes to mind? Because I know your father played with a lot of guys in the league. Yeah. You might have one.
Well, first off, Jim Jensen, he also had a sweet mustache. And so it obviously gained a lot of respect from you because of the stash that he was rocking back then. I think he wore number 11, too, didn't he?
Yes. Yep.
He did. Yeah. So I kind of disqualified you there because I've heard of him.
That's all right.
His number and his stash. Here's what I would say. A guy that I this would be a little unique. A guy that I connected with in a way where, like, I really appreciated him. This guy's name was Jay Walker, Jay Skywalker, who's a quarterback that went to Howard University. And he was a seventh-round draft pick by the New England Patriots. And when I was a ball boy with the Patriots, there were just three quarterbacks on the roster at the time. And so, like, when the quarterbacks needed to pair up to throw, I would sit there and throw with Jay Walker. And, you know, kind of it was leading into a time where I was in high school and started to get recruited to go play in college and that type of stuff. And he just kind of became like a friend, an encourager, a mentor to me a little bit. And it's kind of an odd pairing, you know, some guy that went to Howard that was playing quarterback in the pros. And then what's funny is I've kind of always remained in touch with him, you know, not like we speak every week or something, but like stayed in touch with him, and he now calls games at ESPN, and we run into each other every now and then. So like Jay Walker, who I think broke every like passing record at Howard when he was a player there, was a guy that I appreciated quite a bit.
Oh, I like that. Who were the other two quarterbacks on that Patriots team?
I was just about to ask that.
So that would be Drew Bledsoe and Scott Zolak.
Oh my goodness. For some reason, I thought Grogan and Eason, but that I'm way older than you are.
Listen, I was younger during that time. So here's it, and I've said this, so I'm not saying this, you know, that I wouldn't say to Zolak. You know, Zolak obviously does the radio for the New England Patriots. And so you basically do as your ball boy and you work with the quarterbacks, you do little chores for them during training camp. Like, hey, put my jersey on my shoulder pads, you know, put the pads, you know, in the pants for practice. You know, if he wants like a belt towel or like anything the guy wanted in the locker room, like you just be his little gopher, you know, and go do that stuff. And so I did that for Drew Bledsoe. And I just remember at the end of training camp, Bledsoe sent me on a little errand. I think he literally was like, hey, will you go to my car and get my can of Copenhagen and And then also I have a folder in there, like, bring that to me. And I'm like, oh, you got to be kidding me. So I go and I get it and bring it back to him. And he's like, hey, before you go. And he takes it out and he gives me 10 $100 bills. And I'm a 17-year-old kid. And I'm like, you've got it. Like, I felt guilty. I was like, oh, my gosh, this is amazing. He just gave me $1,000.
Right.
So I just was like, oh, like, he became my favorite quarterback of all time at that point. And then Zolak, who I was doing the same stuff for, I'm still waiting for him to pay me. So like, that's where we are with it. So that's how I would rank those quarterbacks back in New England.
I think Zolak would expect you to give him $1,000. So as soon as you do that, he'll recognize you.
The tide has maybe turned, I think, a little bit.
All right. You've spoken about your dad's friendship with Mark Bavaro. Was that one guy that you were like, oh, my, like, speechless, starstruck?
Yeah, you know what's funny was we never looked at, like, the guys my dad was friends with or teammates with as, like, anything other than, you know, like, he was Mr. Bavaro. Like, we wouldn't call him Mark Bavaro. Like, we called him Mr. – you know, it was Mr. Grove,
right.
You know. And so, yeah, Mark was – it was interesting. He stayed with – the first thing I remember about him was you know, he was a rookie with the Giants, and my dad was an old, you know, kind of veteran. And Mark was staying with us at this house that we were renting for the season. And my younger brother, you know, he probably, you know, woke up. He probably wet his bed is probably what he did. He woke up in the middle of the night. And so he, you know, was crying. And Mark heard him, didn't know what to do. So he kind of, like, you know, tries to, like, walk him to where my parents' bedroom was. And it was the newest thing at the time. Like, this is why we thought Mark Bavaro was cool, is he had Indiglo on his watch. Like, that had just come out, that you could, like, press the button and you could see your watch at night. Like, that's the really – so I wasn't – we didn't think of Mark Bavaro and think, oh, he's the guy that just carried Ronnie Lott, you know, down the field. He's really the guy that, like, he had the Indiglo watch.
Yeah. That's great.
That's awesome. We will have more with Tim Hasselbeck coming up next on this Wednesday, live from Nash Dogs on 102.5 The Game. Chase and Big Joe on this Wednesday, continuing our conversation with ESPN NFL analyst and Innsworth football coach Tim Hasselbeck here on the program. Tim, I saw this article on NFL.com about the most complete rosters going into the 2026 season. Before I tell you who they had number one, what team do you think has the most complete roster right now?
I think Seattle's pretty good. Another team I think is really good, be interested to see where they ranked, would be I think the Green Bay Packers are a pretty good roster. And then if I can put a third one in there, I would say I think the Denver Broncos would have a strong case.
Interesting. All right. Seattle, they have it number two.
Okay.
Green Bay, they don't have on the list, okay. And they have Denver at seven.
Yeah, I mean, look, I say Denver. Denver was a top three scoring defense, top three defense in terms of yards around. I think they were number one in red zone efficiency, and they led the league in sacks with 68. So, like, when I think about Denver, their defense is so good. And then, look, a lot of people, maybe myself included, thought that there was a good chance they were heading to the Super Bowl before the quarterback got hurt.
Yeah.
So who did they have at one?
The Rams.
Okay. I mean, when I look at their receiver situation, that, you know, Devontae Adams, not the same Devontae Adams. Now he caught a ton of touchdowns last year. And then who was three?
Three, Philadelphia.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I just Philadelphia's offensive, like Saquon Barkley fell off a cliff last year.
Yep.
So I think that, you know, that one seems surprising to me. Like, there's really no excuse for, you know, the drop-off that they've experienced there. So that one, I think that one surprised me. I think the Rams is, look, that's a good football team. It's probably why they felt like they could draft a quarterback in the first round. But But I don't know that I would have them at one. I don't think I would have them in front of Seattle.
Baltimore is 4, Buffalo 5, Detroit 6.
Wow.
Denver, as I mentioned, at 7, San Francisco 8, Houston 9, and New England at 10.
So I think it was a surprise to me. So Buffalo, I don't believe, I'd be curious what you guys think. Is there, like, this might be the least talented team that
I agree
Josh Allen has had around him in the last 4 years. So like Buffalo,
I agree,
really surprises me. And then
I think they're in a position to take a pretty significant step back, in my opinion.
Yeah. And then Baltimore, they have had massive changes, like significant changes on the O-line.
Mm-hmm.
Lose a really good tight end. Lose their big old fullback. And, you know, maybe they're just saying, like, look, all these new defensive additions, we're expecting them to be, you know, good and better. And maybe that's fair, but that seems relatively high. Yeah, that seems high for me.
I'm going to push back on the Buffalo because I think, Tim, the new stadium bump does something to a team. Did your brother ever play at the Kingdome?
No, he. But they were at like UW for a year before they were at, what do they call it now?
Quest Field, is it Quest?
Yep,
or something?
Yep.
So, what was that like for him making the transition? I'm sure that'd be fantastic.
Yeah, no, it was a big deal, and they obviously have great home field advantage now, and you know, with their fans and all of that stuff. Look, I was in Philadelphia for the last year of the Vet, and then the first year of Lincoln Financial. So, but I don't know that I look at the Buffalo Bills and I just think like they don't look I mean, here are their receivers, guys. DJ Moore, who they traded for, basically is anointed their number one. Josh Palmer and Khalil Shaquille. Okay. They've got pretty good tight ends, and James Cook is a good player, but like, you know, they're not an overwhelmingly, you know, powerful team in terms of running the football. And then defensively, Ed Oliver is probably their best player. I don't see a roster that's just like infested with talent. That's not how I see the Bills.
I want you to put your talent evaluator hat on because you know quarterbacks, and we're looking at the quarterback crop of 27. What does Arch Manning need to do, Tim, in your opinion, to elevate himself as like the preeminent number one no-brainer draft choice for a quarterback in 27?
I think they need to win. They need to win at Texas. That's the number one thing. I think they need to win. And then I think that he needs to have he needs to have a lot of production, but I don't think that he needs to. I think if close, I think he'll get the benefit of the doubt. And so, you know, what I think, like, some guys need a moment to kind of prove it. Like, I think in a way, Mendoza in the national championship game, you know, that little lead draw that they ran, and he kind of breaks the tackle on 4th and 5. Like, I think there are moments that he had that it was like that were confirming to people. And I think most of the time guys need like times like that for people to kind of be all in on him. I don't think that he needs that, like, because I think that there's a feeling, you know, just the history of the family. I think there's a feeling that, you know, if he's close and he's productive at Texas, that he'll have a good shot at being the number one quarterback.
Do you think because of his uncles, he is unfairly judged?
Here's what I would say, and I felt this way with Eli. There is immense pressure on you know, there was immense pressure on Peyton, there was on Eli, there will be on Arch. That's kind of how it goes. Eli's ability to meet the expectations and handle the pressure, especially when things didn't go well, because adversity will hit, just like it's already started to hit Arch in some elements. I think that I don't want to say it's like it's unfair, because like there are benefits, like there are things that are there are burdens, but there are benefits to it as well. And I just think that how, he deals with it, I think will say a lot about the success he'll have. I think I've said this to you guys before. I thought the best thing about Eli was that you didn't know if he won the lottery or if his dog died. Because that's how steady he was. And he needed to be, because every time he screwed up, well, he's not as good as Peyton. Nope, he's not as good as Peyton. Can't do it. And, that would cripple a lot of people, and it just didn't cripple him. He seemed unfazed by it, and that's a pretty good quality to have as a quarterback.
Well, it is. Last year I felt bad for Arch, that opening game versus Ohio State. No yep. quarterback was going to win that game, right? I mean, yep. that defense, you saw who all got drafted. So I thought out of the gate, Arch was already behind the eight ball even further because of what happened in that game. I'm just curious, because the quarterbacks on the horizon, as you well know, there's not 15 guys ready to go in the first round next year. He's the guy that everybody's pointing to. I was just curious what you thought, what he has to do. And you're yeah. correct. He's got to win those big games. He has to.
Yeah, I think if he wins, and it comes down to it, and Dante Moore has an amazing year, I still think what's going to happen is people, through the process, are going to beat up Dante Moore and his size and stuff like that. And, ultimately, when it comes down to it, in the team, an organization is investing in somebody, they want to be their starting quarterback for the next 10 years. If it's even close, it's going to be hard not to invest in a Manning when – there have been three Mannings that organizations have invested in a big way like that, that, right. In the draft, that have been pleased with the result.
Oh, absolutely. Before we go, there was two people texted in, want to know if you had any stories about Jim Burt.
I don't know if I had any stories other than, he used to bring his kids into the facility like my dad would bring us in. I don't have any
No fights? No Hasselbeck versus Burt fights? Come on, man.
No, I mean, there are a lot of guys Phil Sims would bring his kids in. There were some. Actually, the Mannings, when my dad was with the Vikings, we got to think some old pictures of us hanging out with them. Yeah, I don't have any good Jim Burt stories.
Well, I thought maybe you might wear your shirt two sizes too small in honor of Jim Burt one day.
I will tell you, I do have a player on our high school roster here at Ensworth that he is wearing his jersey. He doesn't know who Jim Burt is, but
right.
He's showing a lot of belly in his uniform. Come on, man. We're early for that.
Oh, that's great, man.
I feel like that's what you would have done, Joe. Joe, did you do that? That was probably you. Did you have one of those, Wilbur Marshall collars and,
yes.
roll up the jersey to show the belly? Did you do that?
I had a neck roll. I had forearm pads all through even the college. I wore those because that was what we all had. But I had a neck roll even through college.
Wait. You wore forearm pads?
Yeah.
Like those?
Yep.
Wow. Now,
like the ones that you
showing you. We thought you showed your age with Steve Grogan and Tony Easton. You just, the
right.
forearm pads really just did it.
Well, the forearm pads had a smell that only your mom would love, right? That's the only person on the planet. You know what I'm talking about. I mean, only moms love the smell of their kids' practice stuff. That's the only person that loves that. But, yeah.
And you had to have a bar coming straight down the middle of your face mask, too. Right?
Oh, I told you, my idol is Howie Long. I wore, even in high school and college, I had a Howie Long cage face mask. And that's why when I've told Chase this, when I see these cages, these guys, they all wear the same cage. I want to see like the Wilbur Marshall, the Howie Long face mask. I mean, those things were
something
beautiful.
You just gave me an idea. I think I'm going to make it mandatory for every one of our linemen to have a bar down face mask like that.
Do it.
Yes.
Do it.
Okay. Maybe I do that. Maybe if I do that, you guys would come out to a game. You know what I mean? Maybe.
Well, right. Well, listen, remember what face mask Dan Marino wore? He had a cage.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
He was awesome.
The bar down, though. He had the other one.
No, but no.
I'm saying the one that starts from, the middle of your forehead and comes
yes.
down. We're going to we're going to reinstitute that. But listen, you knew if you were going to hit a fullback that had one of those face masks, it was going to hurt for about a week.
That's exactly right.
Tim, one more before we let you go. I have predicted, I put together my Titans schedule, and I think they're going to end up with one primetime game, and I think it's going to be on your network at Baltimore on a Monday night. I think Derrick Henry's first game against the Titans will be a Monday night game. I forgot where I put it, like week 6, 7, somewhere in there.
I think that's probably a good forecast. They were really bad last year. There's probably no reason to believe that they're going to make a significant jump. And so there has to be something beyond the matchup, just team to team, to make it sellable. And so I think that's a fair prediction. I'm just relieved that when you started to say it, Chase, you're like, I'm predicting one, and I thought you were going to say win. And I was like, oof. That was...
No, we're not going to go that far yet.
Hey, listen, that's Benny from the Bronx calling in with the negativity, you know, in May. So I'm glad that you finished the thought for me there.
Yeah, for sure. Tim, appreciate it as always, and we'll talk to you next week.
See you, fellas.
Tim Hasselbeck joins us usually on Tuesdays at 1 o'clock, and always a fun conversation with him. We'll come back with more live from Nash Dogs and Old Hickory. Chase and Big Joe, 102.